Awesome real quick. I told you was going to shout one of these days. Well, praise God. What a blessing it is to be back again in Burke County, North Carolina. And we appreciate the goodness of the Lord. And I know you've had a good camp meeting already. Anywhere where Brother Mike Bagwell has preached is good. He's been a friend of mine for a long time. And he had never been to our church till this past spring. We got a mission deal. And he came one night. And boy, our people, they just enjoyed him so much. One lady said, "I like that little feller." And one lady, 90 years old, said, "I like that old man that preached." When they 90 and call you old, you're done, bud. I'm telling you right now. But the Lord is so good. Good to see you tonight. Appreciate you being here. Thank you, pastors, for coming and all the supporting churches working together. I think it's a blessing that this many Baptist churches can come together and a fight don't break out. Some of the meanest people you'll ever be around is Baptist. And I've been around a few places where a fight broke out. But Brother Freddie, you just got to like him. And he's a good brother, and I appreciate him in the Lord and appreciate all you being in the service tonight. God is good, and I appreciate it. I got into some old tapes the other day of Brother Billy Kelly. Did anybody remember Brother Billy? I can't believe, but you may go on up with it there, brother. How far you want me to take it up, amen? Man, that stunk. Somebody spit on that thing, amen? And it's hard to believe he's been gone 14 years. And I got a hold of some old stuff, some funny stuff that he used to tell, and I'd forgotten about it. And he was on this thing about being poor. Anybody know what it is to be poor? He said he was so poor growing up, they spelled it with four zeros. And then he said they were so poor at Christmas time. His daddy would go out behind the house and shoot the gun up in the air and come in there and tell him that Santa Claus shot all the reindeer. Then he said, we were so poor that when we went to Kentucky Fried Chicken, we licked somebody else's fingers. Oh, boy. That's poor, ain't it? And but I appreciate the goodness of God. God is good. At the end of the service tonight, we'll be over here. We brought two of our books with us, and we're not here to sell stuff, but that's the only way to promote our books we write. Most bookstores will not carry King James-only material. And if they look on your website, find out what kind of preacher you are, old-fashioned rip, snort, and let a rip, they won't carry your stuff. Every once in a while, you'll find one that will. And so we've got some books here we wrote, and our new book is out on In the Steps of the Master. So after church, if you'd be interested, come over there and get some good reading material. We try to do two things with our books. We put an outline in there for the preacher, the Bible student, and then the commentary, the devotional reading. And I believe you'll enjoy it. It's not just for preachers. In fact, non-preachers enjoy my books better than preachers do. I'm not smart enough to write to preachers, so I have to write to regular people, amen? And so come by tonight. And if you don't like me and you don't like the books and you don't like to read, come by anyhow. I need the money. Gas is $4 a gallon almost, and my kids are hungry. Well, it worked for that fellow on TV. I thought I'd give it a try, amen? But we'll be glad to help you, and I trust you'll be back each night, and we're excited about being with you. We love you, folks, and I'm glad we serve a God who knows us, loves us, and praise God, he cares about us tonight. I feel a shout coming on. He cares about us tonight. God Almighty really does care about me. He cares about my problems and my needs, and I love him tonight. Let's stand together. Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. And let's read tonight verse 5 and verse number 6. Hebrews chapter number 11, verse 5 and verse 6. Hebrews 11, 5. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. What an awesome thing to say about somebody. That's better than saying he was rich. That was even better than saying he was a Baptist. He pleased God. He had this testimony that he pleased God. Verse 6, but without faith, it is difficult to please him. Let me try that again. But without faith, it is hard to please him. Let's try that again. But without faith, it is a challenge. Oh, no. But without faith, it is what? It is impossible to please him. And I love this next phrase. I have underlined, holler hallelujah right here. For he that cometh to God. You say, what's so good about that statement? I'm glad you can come to God. Boy, oh boy, I've heard some preaching lately that almost had the door shut. Almost had the gates barred. But son, I'm glad you can come to God. Whew. Man, I'm glad you can come to God. And him that cometh to God, I love this, must believe. And I want to say tonight, I can, I do, I will believe. He must believe. He must believe that he, God, he must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You may be seated tonight, and I'm interested in that little phrase found in verse number 5. The Bible said that he was not found. Now that tells me something. If he was not found, evidently somebody went looking for him. And when they looked for him, they couldn't find him. And evidently, he left such a legacy that he was missed. But even though Enoch was gone, even though his seat was empty and his voice was silent, he left behind such a legacy that they did not forget that a man named Enoch lived in their area. And so I want to preach tonight on this thought. Gone, but not forgotten. Enoch was gone, but he was not forgotten. And what we have in our text tonight, Hebrews 11, that's called the Great Faith Chapter. And here the writer, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, devotes this whole chapter to the blessing and benefit of our faith. Tonight in verse 1, 2, and 3, he defines faith. He tells us what faith is. And I'm glad to say tonight that our faith is. It is a real faith. I'm glad tonight our faith is not just a figment of our imagination. Our faith tonight is a lot more than just mental assent to some religious facts. I'm glad tonight that our faith is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I love the words of the songwriter. When they pin down these words, I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. I'm glad tonight our faith is on a firm foundation. The songwriter said, how firm a foundation. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, which is laid for your faith in his excellent word. And I love this little line. What more can he say than to you he hath said? Let me just say, God can't say anything else, because he has said it all in the word of God. And so he defines faith. He tells us what faith is. And then beginning in verse 4, through the rest of the chapter, he demonstrates faith. He not only tells us what faith is, but he tells us what faith does. And he demonstrates our faith in the lives of the characters in Hebrews 11. Now let me say this tonight about the men and women you find in this chapter. They were real people. You want me to do this?
I'll just stand still. It's too hot to run around anyway. Too fat and old to be running around. Praise God. Somebody said that vest you got on is out of style. I said, man, ain't no vest. That's a girdle. Praise God. That's a potholder right there. Amen. But in the characters you find in Hebrews 11, these are real people that lived in a real world. And they had real problems and they fought real battles. But they had real faith in a real God. And therefore, they experienced a real victory. And I want us to come tonight to verse number 5 and look at one of these characters of faith. A man by the name of Enoch. Now, I believe tonight that Enoch is one of the most relevant Bible characters that we could preach about. In fact, I believe tonight we have more in common with Enoch than the other characters listed in this chapter. And you say, well, Brother Joe, what do you think makes Enoch so relevant for our day? Well, you think about this tonight. Enoch lived for God in the midst of a sinful, wicked society. Enoch is living proof tonight that you can live for God anytime, any place, anywhere, if you want to live for God bad enough. I'm so tired of people blaming their environment, blaming the neighborhood, blaming the last days, why they can't live for God. I love it. They say, well, preacher, we can't build a church. You know, we're in the last day. And you know, we can't have revival because we're in the last day. Has it dawned on you? We've been in the last days ever since Jesus ascended into heaven. And Enoch lived for God in the midst of a sinful society. In fact, it looks like Enoch is living for God all by himself. It looks like that Enoch is living for God when seemingly the rest of the world is living for the devil. But Enoch is relevant because he lived for God in the midst of a wicked society. Something else about Enoch tonight that I believe we have in common is that he went to heaven, he got to see the Lord, and did not pass through the valley of the shadow of death. You say, well, what has that got to do with us? Did you know tonight it is very highly possible that there are people in this room that will go to heaven and see Jesus and cheat the undertaker? In fact, it's highly possible that everybody in this room that is saved tonight could go to heaven and see Jesus and never walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You say, preacher, are you preaching on that rapture stuff? Well, I'm glad you got that figured out right from the beginning. You say, well, I don't believe in the rapture. Well, stay if Jesus comes. But I hate to tell you this, if you're saved, you're going whether you want to or not. Man, I thought about this the other day. Wouldn't it be bad to go to heaven under protest? If you're saved, when Jesus comes, you're going. And you say, well, Brother Joe, that word rapture is not in the Bible. Well, neither is the word Trinity. But I believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Neither is the word Sunday school, but I go every Sunday morning. And neither is the word gambling, but I don't buy lottery tickets. Amen. And you may not find the word rapture in the Bible, but you'll find the truth of it all through the Scripture. In fact, tonight, if there is no rapture, what in the world are you going to do with 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 17? We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And by the way, that little word rapture is really a good word, because if you'll get you an old English dictionary and look up the word rapture, one of the meanings of that word is transported with delight. Transported with delight. And I'll tell you, one of these days, this blood-washed crowd, this saved crowd, this born-again crowd is going to be transported with delight. One of these days will be like Enoch. We will be gone from this world. The Bible says that he was not. You know, America tonight has a space program, and we call it astronauts. The Russians have one, and they call it cosmonauts. But one day, the Church of the Living God, we're not going to be astronauts or cosmonauts, but we'll be a bunch of was-nots. We'll be gone from this world. Gone, but not forgotten. I believe the life that he lived and the legacy that he left and the leap that he made, he was gone but not forgotten. I wish tonight that you and I could leave such a mark and live such a life that when our voice is silent and our seat is empty, we'll be gone but not forgotten. From our text tonight, there are three things about Enoch that I believe that were unforgettable. Three things about his life they could not forget. Number one, they could not forget his walk with God. They could not forget his walk with God. In fact, his walk with God was so good and great that it was his lasting legacy. That was his nickname. That was his logo. That was his trademark. Every time they saw Enoch, they said, right there is a man that walks with God. Genesis chapter number 5 tells us about Enoch's walk. The Bible said in Genesis chapter 5 that Enoch was 65 years old and begat Methuselah. Now that in itself is encouraging to me, that Enoch was 65 and fathered his first child. I said that in itself is an encouragement. He didn't get started till he was 65. Now that was a time in my life when 65 seemed way out yonder. It seemed really ancient. In fact, I've always had a rule in our church. I've been there 27 years, and I always had a rule. I wouldn't hug any of the women over 6 or under 60, but I've had to move that up. Some of them 60-year-old women ain't looking bad, praise God. And he was 65 years old and beget Methuselah. Now, Genesis chapter 5 makes an interesting statement. It said, after he begat Methuselah, he walked with God. Now, I do not know how Enoch lived the first 65 years of his life. But I do know from the Bible how he lived the last 300 years of his life. He walked with God. I believe tonight when Enoch was 65 years old and fathered that child, Methuselah had a physical birthday, but Enoch had a spiritual birthday. There was something about becoming a father. There was something about having a little boy looking up to him that got Enoch's attention. And from that day, he began to walk with God. And I will say this tonight. I don't know of any better reason to serve God and walk with God and do right for God when we've got a young generation looking at us, watching our life, and they need somebody to set the standard and blaze the trail and leave a legacy for God. You say, well, Brother Joe, what is so big about walking with God? Well, do you remember what the prophet Amos said about walking with God? The prophet Amos said, two cannot walk together except they be agreed. Watch that word in that verse. Two cannot walk together except they be agreed. So to walk with God, there is an exception. And may I say, to be saved, to be born again, to have a personal relationship with God, there is an exception. And you say, what is that exception? Jesus said in John chapter number 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see or enter the kingdom of God. And may I say, there is no exception to the rule. You've got to be born again to be saved. You've got to be saved to know God. And you got to know God to go to heaven. And Brother Amos said, two cannot walk together except they be agreed. So that tells me something. If Enoch walked with God, then evidently that was a time in his life when him and God reached an agreement. And if I know my Bible like I think I do, it was Enoch that was a-doing the agreeing. And by the way, you know what real Bible repentance is? It's agreeing with God. It's siding with God against yourself. Now, you may have been in North Carolina when you got saved. Some people have been in Georgia when they got saved. Some people got saved at church. Some people got saved at home. Some people got saved at the hospital. But wherever you were, here is your story. You know how you got saved? You agreed with God. You sided with God against yourself. It went something like this. You said, God, you said I was a sinner. You're right, and I'm wrong. God, you said the soul that sinneth shall surely die. You're right, and I'm wrong. God, you said if I die in my sin, where you are, I cannot come. God, you're right, and I'm wrong. God, you said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God, you're right, and I'm wrong. God, you said, look unto me and be ye saved. For the ends of the earth, for I am God, and besides me there is none else. And you said, God, you're right, and I'm wrong. God, you said, if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead, I could be saved. God, you're right, and I'm wrong. God, you said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You said, God, you're right, and I'm wrong. God said, I'm the Savior, and you are the sinner, and I agree to that. God said, you got to be born again to be saved. I agree to that. Jesus said, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish, and I agree to that. God said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I agree. Bible repentance and Bible salvation is when you side with God against yourself. And blessed be the day, blessed be the hour when you and God got in an agreement. You got on the same road, you got on the same page. You can't walk together except you be agreed. I agree with God. I side with God. I abandon myself. I leave myself. My faith is resting on nothing other than the finished work of Christ upon the cross. It's not in my church membership. It's not in my water baptism. It's not in my goodness. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. All I have is Jesus. All I plead is Jesus. I rest my case at the foot of the cross. I agreed with God. I'm walking with God. I have a relationship with God. And they could not forget his walk with God. Him and God reached an agreement. If you're going to walk with somebody, you got to be on the same road. If you're going to walk with somebody, you got to be going in the same direction. If you're going to walk with somebody, you got to be going at the same pace. There can't be any friction. There can't be any wall of partition. There's got to be unity. And I'm glad tonight, hallelujah, the wall of rebellion was broken down. The wall of excuses was broken down. I waved the old white flag of surrender. And I said with the songwriter, out of my bondage into thy light, Jesus, I come to thee. Now, me and God tonight is not at odds. Me and God tonight are not enemies. Me and God are not at war. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And now the peace of God that passes all understanding rules our hearts and our minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm saved tonight. I don't belong to the world. I don't belong to the devil. I don't even belong to myself. I belong to God. I belong to Jesus. I have a personal, real, vibrant, living relationship with the God of heaven. And aren't you glad in days of sin and days of apostasy, when it looks like the world's going to hell in a handbasket, we can rise above the circumstances and rise above the shadows and know God and have God and walk with God. Brother, they couldn't forget his walk with God. And evidently he was serious about it. Because for the next 300 years, you know what impresses me about Enoch? He made it past Easter Sunday. You know what impresses me about Enoch? He made it past Mother's Day. Boy, usually those people that only come twice a year, they have a whole month to recover from Easter to Mother's Day. But this year, we double whammied them. They only had 1 week to recover. They come in our place limping from Easter on Mother's Day. He made it past Christmas Sunday when you pass out all the treats. He made it past getting his feelings hurt. He made it past somebody not shaking his hand. He made it past not getting to call on to sing. He made it past Decoration Sunday. He made it past family reunion. He made it past Little League Baseball. He made it past shopping and cutting your grass and going fishing. I mean, whatever was on the Lord's day, he made it beyond that. And for 300 years, he walked with God. I'm telling you tonight, being saved and being a Christian goes beyond joining the church. It goes beyond showing up for religious activity. It's a relationship. It's a fellowship. Thank God it's not keeping rules and regulations. It's not going through the motion of religious activity, but it's knowing God, walking with God, talking with God, fellowshipping with God. I'm telling you, in a world filled with sin, you better get to know God, and you better get to know him real good, that lowly, sinful, depraved creatures like us can have a relationship with the God of heaven through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad we can walk with God in the midst of a sinful world. He walked with God. And they could not forget his walk with God. Number two, something else unforgettable about Enoch. Not only could they not forget his walk with God, but secondly, they could not forget his witness for God. Now, walking with God denotes a great blessing, but being a witness for God denotes great responsibility. And everywhere in the Bible, I see great blessing. I see it accompanied with great responsibility. Now, how many would believe and agree with me tonight that being saved is a blessing? Being saved is an awesome blessing. Being saved is a wonderful blessing. Being saved is an eternal blessing. But may I remind you, with the blessing of salvation, there comes a responsibility. And God did not save us to sour and sit and soak. God saved us to be a witness. God saved us to be workers in the vineyard. God saved us to be soldiers in the army. And Enoch is doing more than just fellowshipping with God. He's laboring for God. He's working for God. He is a bright light in a dark world. He is a witness for God in the midst of a sinful age. You say, well, what kind of witness was Enoch? I was reading that little one chapter epistle, the book of Jude. And I read this verse in Jude about Enoch. The Bible said in the book of Jude that Enoch was a prophet. He was a forth teller of truth. And Enoch had one message. And that message was, the Lord is coming with 10,000s of his saints. The Lord is coming with 10,000 of his saints. Everywhere Enoch went, he preached the same message. The Lord is coming with 10,000 of his saints. And I can see some critic say, Enoch, how long you going to preach that same message? I believe his answer would be, until the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints. While he's walking with God, he's giving out the message. And Enoch was such a faithful witness that if you ever met Enoch, you couldn't die and face eternity and tell God you didn't know about it. Because everywhere he went, that was his message. The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. And aren't you glad tonight when you was a sinner, lost without God, headed to a devil's hell, you bumped into somebody that was walking with God. And while they were walking with God, they were witnessing for God. And they told you, and they gave you the message, ready or not, the Lord is coming. And aren't you glad one day somebody cared enough about you to witness to you and preach to you and tell you? And by the way, the world still needs to hear the message. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And you say, well, Brother Joe, I don't understand how Enoch, way back in Genesis 5, could preach a message about the Lord coming when the Lord hadn't even come in the manger yet. How did he know the Lord was coming with 10,000s of his saints before he was ever born of a virgin in Bethlehem? He knew the Lord was coming then, like we know the Lord is coming now. The Holy Ghost told him. That's what we call divine revelation, divine inspiration, and divine preservation. That book you hold in your hand was not written by C.I. Scofield or Charles Rowrie or John Rice or JoJo Arthur. That book you hold in your hand is the infallible, inerrant, inspired word of the living God, revealed by God, inspired by God, and preserved by God. And if you read it in the book, you can hang your hat on it. If you read it in the book, you can hang your faith on it. If you read it in the book, you can raise your family on it. If you read it in the book, you can bow your head and sleep on it. If you read it in the book, you can face eternity with it. The Lord told him before he was ever born of the virgin, he was coming. The Holy Ghost told him. You say, preacher, but wait a minute. The Lord hadn't been born of a virgin. He hadn't lived a sinless life. He hadn't died upon the cross. He hadn't arisen from the dead. How could he preach such a truth? Because the Holy Ghost bared witness with Enoch's spirit that Jesus was a coming again. No, it didn't make sense in his day, and it don't make sense in our day, because the natural man has never received the things of God because they're spiritually discerned. But praise God, if you're saved tonight, your accountability partner called the Holy Ghost lives in you, and he identifies with divine truth. I was listening to one of these liberals give his exposition of that verse. He said, the Lord is coming within thousands of his saints. He said that meant for Enoch when he was born in the manger. Wrong. When he came in the manger, he was not accompanied with 10,000s of his saints. There wasn't anybody but the angels of heaven, Mary and Joseph, and some animals. And they stuck him out in a dirty cow shed because there was no room for him in the end. He said, well, if it didn't mean that, it meant when he was baptized in Jordan, he was not accompanied in Jordan with 10,000s of his saints. But the dove of the Holy Ghost did come upon him. And God say, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. He said, well, if it wasn't that, it must have been when he arose from the grave. He didn't arise from the grave with 10,000s of his saints. In fact, nobody didn't even believe it, but a few women and two disciples that ran down to the tomb. He said, well, it must mean when he comes for you in death. No, he sends the guardian angel, but not 10,000s of his saints when he comes to us in death. He said, it must mean when he comes in our devotion and blesses us. I'm telling you, if I'm ever praying in my study and 10,000 saints show up, I'm going to be like Wendy Bagwell. If there ain't no back door, I'm going to ask you, where do you want one? There can only be one logical, spiritual, true conclusion. The second advent. The second coming of Jesus Christ. He's a coming. He's a coming. He's a coming. No, he hadn't been to the manger yet. No, my God, I feel like preaching. He hadn't been to the River Jordan yet. No, he hadn't been to the upper room yet. No, he hadn't been to Calvary yet. No, he hadn't been to the tomb yet. But praise God, that Holy Ghost that identified with his soul said, the Lord is coming. I'm glad that night I got saved. Hey. hell moved out and the Holy Ghost moved in, and the Holy Ghost in me is groaning to be redeemed out of this life. I'm glad, ladies and gentlemen, the Lord is coming. And while he's walking with God, he is witnessing for God. And it probably didn't make any sense to the people he preached to then. Not like it don't make any sense to the people we preach to tonight. But it didn't change the fact the Lord is coming with 10,000 of his saints. I was in a city the other day and I told the pastor, I said, I need to get a haircut. Boy, you are one of the funniest things in life is watching a bald-headed man get a haircut. And if we got any haircutters here tonight, you'd think they'd give a bald-headed man a discount. They charge you just as much. I told somebody the other day, I don't mind getting wrinkled. I don't mind getting spots. I really don't mind getting fat. But boy, I miss my hair. And I hear people talk about, well, bald is beautiful. The only people who say that's bald-headed people. I ain't never seen a Casanova full of hair go, boy, I love bald. I ain't never seen no pretty bald-headed man, including me and you and him and him and, dear God, half of this crowd. But I was in the chair getting my hair cut. Now, brother friend, I ought to know I was in trouble when the name of the place was the Mad Hacker. The Mad Hacker. And son, this old gal come from behind that door. Son, she had on that Batman looking smock. She had a pair of scissors in one hand and a pair of clippers in that. And son, she looked like Rambo. I got in that chair and just started getting hacked. Well, you know how it is. If you want to know what's going on, don't read the paper. Don't listen to the radio. Don't watch TV. Just listen. And while I was sitting there getting my hair hacked, the subject of church came up. And I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep my mouth shut. She already looks like she hates men. She's got the clippers and the scissors. So the subject of church came up. You'll love this. And she said, well, you know, I used to go to church when I was a little girl with my grandmother. Oh, but it got on my nerves. She said, it traumatized me. When I was a little girl, I got afraid. She said, you guys may not believe this, but her pastor yelled. I said, oh. She said her pastor literally sweated and spit. What a shame. She said her pastor preached on hell, fire, and brimstone. I said, oh my. And she said he preached out of the book of Revelation about all them scorpions and beasts and all that. And said it used to scare me to death. And I said, I know what you mean. Did me too. And she said, I made up my mind right then. If I ever got married and had me a family, I wouldn't subject my children to such trauma. And I'm trying to be quiet. She said, I got a little 9-year-old girl at home, and I will not subject her little mind to such trauma. And finally, clippers or no clippers, I said, ma'am, can I ask you a question? Do you let your child watch vampire movies, play on the internet unsupervised, and listen to Hannah Banana Montana? Yes. I said, well, I promise you that will traumatize her mind a whole lot more than sitting in a church with a man of God preaching in the power of the Holy Ghost trying to keep her soul and yours out of hell. Boy, she said, Do you go to church? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, does your pastor yell? Yes, ma'am. Does your pastor sweat and spit? Yes, ma'am. Does your pastor preach on hell, fire, and brimstone? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, who's your preacher? I looked at them scissors. I looked at them clippers. And I said, bless God, I ain't gonna pull a Simon Peter. I said, you're cutting his hair. She backed up. Oh my God. I said, yeah, I preach about him too. And then I got a case of boldness. And then I got to squalling. And I'm gonna get to crying right here because I can't help it. I said, ma'am, my daddy preached like that. And all my daddy's friends preach like that. And I preach like that. And ma'am, all my friends preach like that. They ain't a liberal in the fellowship. I said, they all preach like that. And I said, ma'am, it used to bother me too. But when I got saved and when I got born again, the Holy Ghost came in. I'm glad I got traumatized. I'm glad the fear of God came upon me. Aren't you glad when you was a sinner, one heartbeat from hell, they wasn't giving history lessons. They wasn't giving self-help talks. They wasn't giving financial aid. But the man of God preached Jesus was coming and hell was real and hot. And you got scared and you got afraid. But that same grace that taught your heart to fear, that same grace your fear relieved. How precious did that grace appear? The hour first, I'm glad I've been traumatized. I said, I'm glad the fear of God fell on me. And I'm glad I got saved. Let's tell the story. The Lord is coming. Well, glory. They could not forget his walk with God. They could not forget his witness for God. Number three, listen to this. They could not forget his welcome by God. Hallelujah. Not only did he walk with God, and he witnessed for God, but one day he was welcomed home by God. I got to walk around on this point. I feel like Jimmy Swaggart now. There is a river. Don't you look at me like you ain't never heard him sing. His tapes is in your car. I was watching it myself the other night. You called in and pledged $500. He walked with God. And while he's walking with God, he's witnessing for God. And then one day, he was welcomed by God. Amen. Won't you help me, you old swaggered lover? Come on up here. One day, God and Enoch reached an agreement. And they got on the same page. They got on the same road and walking in the same direction. And for 300 years, they walked together. When it was winter time, they walked together. When it was summertime, they walked together. When it was in the springtime, they walked together. In the fall time, they walked together. When the battle's raging, they kept a walking. Hallelujah. And when the funeral procession, they kept a walking. 300 years. Every day was a good day. Every day was a blessed day. Because if the mountain was too high, they kept on a walking. If the valley was too low, they kept on a walking. Whoop! Hey, he's walking with God. And one day, this is how I believe it happened. You shall not believe this. Well, I'm preaching tonight, you preach tomorrow night. I believe one day they stepped out on their daily stroll like all the other 300 days. And towards the end of that 300th day, God looked over Enoch and said, hey, boy, we're just as close to my house as we are yours. Come on home. And I start to say, spend the night. But there ain't no night there. Come on home and spend the day. You know what Genesis chapter 5 said? The Bible said in Genesis 5, God took him. Son, when I read that the other day, I had an old-fashioned Pentecostal Baptistic Nazarene, all Holy Ghost shout and spell. God took him. You know what that means? That means the devil didn't get him. That means sin didn't get him. That means the world didn't get him. God took him. It speaks of a deliberate act of God. God took him. Woo! The world didn't want Enoch, but evidently God did. God took him. Hebrews 11 uses an interesting phrase. The Bible said he was translated. The word translated, transformed. Translated, transformed. Translated, transformed. Amen is the same word. It means to be changed. It means to step out of one world into another world. I'm trying to close. It means to be lifted out of one environment and put into another environment. We have several mission boards that we try to help, and we have people who work for us, and they're called linguists. Now, I ain't one of them, but a linguist, they're people who take words out of one language and they lift that word out of that setting, out of that environment, and they put it in another one that another language might understand, and it's called translation. The Bible said that's what happened to us when we got saved. We were members of the kingdom of darkness, but we got translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. You know what happened? You got saved. You got put out of nothing and put smack dab in the middle of everything. I mean, it's in the red book. I'm in a new world since the Lord saved me. You got translated. What do you mean, preacher? Out of the muck and the miry clay into the light of God, into the family of God, into the fold of God. If you're saved tonight, you've been translated. He used that word again in Romans chapter number 12. If we'll present our body, living sacrifice, soul acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but we can be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Our mind can go from an earthly mind to a heavenly mind, from a carnal mind to a spiritual mind. Our minds can change environments. Well, glory. But there's another change coming. There's another translation coming. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. That word changed, translated, transformed, transferred, same root word, metamorphosis, and it means to be changed from one world into another world. Are you impressed so far? Here you go. Have you ever been trout fishing, and hanging over the stream is a branch, and up in that branch is a spider spongy looking thing, but it's not a spider web. Inside of that little spongy spider web looking thing are little bitty ugly woolly bully ugly boogie boogie woolly woolly worms. And all those that don't fall down in the stream and get ate by the fish, they find their way to the land. And one day that little woolly boogie, ugly woolly bully worm has concocted a shell around him called a cocoon. It looks like a small miniature hornet's nest, but about that big. And if you'll watch that cocoon, one day it starts to wiggle. One day little flakes starts peeling off of it. And all of a sudden in that cocoon, there's a hole appears. And sticking out of that hole come two antennas. And wiggling out of that hole is that ugly, wiggly, wiggly, boogie, boogie worm. But he ain't ugly, wiggly, boogie, boogie worm anymore. He's then got wings. And he steps out of that cocoon, flaps him wings. He's now a butterfly. And he heads toward the sun, flapping him wings. Metamorphosis. He got changed. He got translated. Oh, hallelujah. The last time I saw my old dad, disease and sickness had made him an ugly woolly booger worm. And he was cocooned in that old shroud of death. But he's going to get translated. He's going to get changed. For this cocoon, this robe of flesh will drop and rise and seize the everlasting prize and shout while we fly through the air, farewell, farewell, farewell. I want to tell you, he got translated. He got in a new world. He was welcomed by God. And I've come to tell you tonight, if you'll walk with God and witness for God, one day we'll be welcomed by God and we'll leave this world and we're going home and we'll never have another heartache. Woo! He was gone, but he was not forgotten. Because he left something behind. And what did he leave behind? He left behind a legacy and a testimony and an influence that he pleased God. You know, one of these days we're leaving here. Either by a hole in the ground or a hole in the sky. And you know what? You can't take your car with you. I've had a few, glory to God, I'd gladly leave behind. If you got a Ford, bless God, you know what I mean. You can't take your golf clubs with you. You ought to give that up anyway. That's a sin against God. That's not spiritual. People who golf cuss. And if they don't say it, they thank it. But I got news for you. You can't take your rods and reels either. Golfers cuss, but fishermen lie. This saddens me. You can't take your deer rifle. I can't take my 300 mag, my 30-06, my 7mm. I can't take it. Listen, I can't take my stocks and bonds. Come to think of it, in this economy, what stocks and bonds? You know, some of you are old enough to remember when everybody on your street was poor. How many of you are old enough to remember when everybody you knew was poor? You didn't feel bad about being poor because everybody you knew we're about to be that way again. God's going to teach our nation there's some things money can't buy. We can't take our money. We can't take our stocks and bonds. We can't take nothing with us except one possession. And that's our influence. And people that we won to Christ, we can take them. Paul said to that church at Thessalonica in the second chapter, what is our hope? What is our joy? What is our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye at the coming of the Lord Jesus? I can't take my house, can't take my car, can't take my money, can't take my possessions, but I can take my family and my friends and my neighbors. I can take those that I've influenced. Hallelujah. We can stroll into heaven with a bunch of people that we influenced along the way. Up in the mountains of Virginia, where I'm from, old Clyde Carter, that old mountain preacher, He used to sing the soul song. I wonder, yes, I wonder, if someone in glory will be waiting for me. Will someone be waiting? Yes, waiting by the bright river side. Will someone be waiting when I cross all the deep rolling tide? They tell me no sorrow forever in the city can be. I wonder, yes, I wonder if someone in glory will be waiting for me. Praise God, he was unforgettable. And I believe tonight you and I can live such a life for God that when we're gone, we'll not be forgotten. And we'll have some trophies to lay at the feet of Jesus. I'm going to heaven, how about you? And we ought to be busy about getting a load to go with us. I can see old Noah when he checked in. Noah, did you build a big mega work? No, not really. Just got a few. But it is my family. I do got mama and the boys and their wives. Woo! You know what all of us need to leave this room doing tonight? We need to leave this room singing this little song. I'm bound for the promised land. I'm bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I'm bound for the promised land. I'm glad tonight we can lead a host of heaven. Thank God if we'll do what's right. Let's stand together. Lord Jesus, we love you tonight. Lord, we count it a privilege and an honor to be in this place. And we love you. And Lord, help us tonight while we're walking with God. Lord, to be a witness for God. Because one day, Lord, we'll be welcomed. And Lord, help us to realize tonight that all the tolls of the road will be nothing when we come to the end of the way. Help us tonight, Lord, not to go to heaven empty-handed. But help us to have a host. A little handful of purpose. Bringing in our little sheaves. Somebody we've influenced along the way. God, if we don't help anybody, God, help us to help our families and our loved ones and our friends. Help us, Lord, to live such a life that we'll leave behind a legacy that we're with you. Move in our hearts tonight and we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed all over the